Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you, big book study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Friday, March 31st, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And we are reading from the big book, How It Works. We're in the chapter How It Works. We're on the last paragraph of that chapter. Page 70, down at the bottom, it says, in this book, you read again and again. On top of page 71, it ends with, digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. And the comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Karen W., the 12 Traditions, Davalin E., readers of the text are Veronica C., Jordan L., and Elaine B. And the share ID for Thursday, March 30th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 20,108. That's 20108. And for this morning's meeting, Friday, March 31st, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 20,110. That's 20110. And our newcomer greeter is Reggie O. And our announcements person is Robin P. Thank you all for your service. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our meeting is our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. I'm Karen W. from Long Island, New York, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much. I enjoyed being part of the Friday team, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much for your service, Karen, this month. I will now ask Davalin E. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Davalin.
Good morning, Mo, and everyone on the line. My name is Davalin E., and I am a compulsive eater living gratefully and joyfully in recovery in Manitoba, Canada. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to give service this March, and may you all have a serene and joyful day. Pass.
And thank you very much, Davlin, for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 70, the last paragraph, the fourth paragraph, and it starts with, in this book we read again and again, and it ends on the top of page 71, digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. And I will now ask Veronica C. to get us started. Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service, and I'm so grateful for all that are on this call this morning. In this book, you read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. If you have already made a decision and an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you have made a good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. You know, when I think about this paragraph and I ruminate on it a bit this morning, I recognize that one of my glaring grosser handicaps was control. I was very invested in what I thought was taking care of others, and that meant telling them what they needed to be doing. I thought that I had the answers, and if I didn't have the answer, I would find a way, and that was a lot of how I felt that I was prepared to grow up. I was prepared to grow up and take care of things, and that became a very big issue as I became an adult, because as an adult, not everybody wants to be told what to do. And what I discovered through doing the steps was that I needed to give others a chance to figure things out for themselves. Oftentimes, all I really needed to do was be a good, compassionate, listening ear, or just being a supportive individual, a supportive friend. I didn't have to work on changing the world through changing other people. So I had to recognize that God was in charge. And when I finally received and got that message through doing my fourth step and actually doing the fifth step, I recognized that I had been agnostic when it came to this aspect of living. And this beautiful book of truth and A Design for Living really saved me from making grosser mistakes, meaning, in other words, I could be free of the shackles that bound me, which was really wanting to take care of others, because it became a big problem. I no longer have to worry about that anymore. Some of my biggest problems that I have had to encounter in my life, I have had to surrender and turn over to God, and that has been my saving grace. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Veronica C., for getting us started. And I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 70 in How It Works, the last paragraph. In this book, you read again and again, and it ends on the top of page 71. We digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience. So if you share it on either Wednesday or Thursday, we ask that you wait until Monday. Who would like to share on this topic?
Anne-Marie K. in Pennsylvania.
Barbara E.
from New Jersey.
Okay, Barbara
Anne-Marie
E.
Anne-Marie K. in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure you got that.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay.
Barbara E. I got Anne-Marie K. and Barbara E. Anybody else?
Joan R. from Oregon.
Joan R. Thank you, Jordan. Joan.
Yvonne A.
Yvonne A. Oh, that must be the one from Canada. Yvonne. Anybody else? We got Anne-Marie K., Barbara E., Joan R., and Yvonne A.
Sherry C. from Connecticut.
Darcy M. from
And Darcy M. Was that M or N?
M.
Okay. All right. Let's stop there. Thank you very much. And we have next, you can come on the next lineup. We have Anne-Marie K., Barbara E., Joan R., Yvonne A., Suri C., and Darcy M. All right. Everyone else mute your line except Anne-Marie K. Good morning, Anne-Marie.
Good morning. This is Anne-Marie K., a recovered but not cured compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania, and I'm so glad to be here at the 10 o'clock meeting. I usually don't get to this one, and there are never any coincidences, as we know, in this program. God works in very, very open ways when we're aware of it. And for me, one of the ways I found that out, because I was blocked from him, was doing my fourth step. And, you know, when it talks about being painful maybe at first, you know, the pain was all the years that I refused to look at these things. I came into program in my 30s, and I'm 70 today, and I've got 20 months, thank God, finally, of exactly that, thanking God, to finally be willing to surrender. Because, you know, the old line about if you always do what you always did, you're going to always get what you always got, and I did. I never realized how selfish and how, and again, I don't look at that morbidly now. The inventory truly was an archaeological dig that was a positive one for me. I could see what I was doing, why I kept coming against this brick wall. And, you know, each day, and there's days when I still, you know, most days the monkey noise and the chatter in my head isn't there, the fears. My husband's being operated on at this moment. I'm actually waiting for him. And at one time, my abandonment issues would have been so bad, I would not be this calm. I know God has it all under control today. I'm not scared. I'm not full of fear. I'm not thinking about tomorrow or what if. And that was the way my life went. It was constant. And as was mentioned earlier, control. Trying to control things I had absolutely no control. And today when I look at that, I think, how the heck did I think that I was going to be able to control these things? The only thing it did was make me a very, very unhappy and constantly, you know, having to listen to the noise within my head. So the beginning of the fourth step now, and I often say when I hear sponsees and people talk about, oh, the dreaded fourth step, and, you know, the other thing I thought was, well, the minute I did this, I was going to have to say everybody, all these people I'd have to say I was sorry to, because I didn't understand the steps, how do you work into the amends and how we do our amends. It's, again, me reaching into the future instead of staying present within the day to take care of the business of the day and to let my higher power guide me. And that some days today, there's things, you know, and I'm still looking at that I have to say I'm willing to be willing, God, and doing that sixth step, you know. But today I understand that. I didn't understand that before. And that is such a freedom. So with that, I'm going to pass and say, everybody have a great day unless you made up plans, because you're not alone anymore unless you choose to be. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Anne Marie K. Prayers for your husband. Okay, next up we have Barbara E. from New Jersey, followed by Joan R. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to be on this meeting. I think it was God that led me to this one, because I, too, normally go to the 7 a.m. meeting. But this was wonderful. I love the reading. I love the share. I know that I learn to listen, and then I listen to learn. And I think I've become more teachable as I've grown older in this program. And my thought patterns that had failed me in the past, beginning with my attempts to control my eating and my weight, I've realized aren't as important as what's going on in my head. Because I was always selfish. Everyone would be much better if they followed my script, I thought. But I couldn't follow my script. I am a crazy person. I'm a compulsive overeater. I will always be one, but I don't have to die because of it. I lied. I blamed others. I kept score. I fought battles with people who weren't even there or didn't even know anything about me. And I've heard that I stands for illness and we stands for wellness. And that's what I just want to think about constantly. Like compulsive eaters, normal eaters sometimes find pleasure and escape from life's problems in excess food. Well, food was my best frenemy. I never thought I'd shoot myself with a gun or with a really sharp knife from my drawer, but I definitely thought I was killing myself with a knife, fork, and spoon, because I only ate one meal a day. It just lasted 24 hours. I'm a compulsive overeater, and my eating can't be controlled by my willpower. I needed to have something more than willpower, because willpower is important, but there was something I needed. And when I heard about the spiritual and emotional component, I said, ah, yes, I understand. I'm welcome and welcome home. And because my malady was not just physical in nature, it was emotional and spiritual and continues to be. I always say I have no defects, none at all. And then I get out of bed in the morning and then any kind of shit can rain down on me because I sometimes have a quick temper. Quick to respond, not quick enough to pray and pause until serenity emerges. I don't have to say that to you. I don't have to remind you of that. I'm not your mother. I'm not your teacher. I'm just another bozo on the bus. And I know that word offends some people, but trust me, if I were the driver, this bus would crash and we'd all be dead because that's what I am. Thank you, and thank you for everyone. I'm so glad I got on this meeting. I passed. Can't wait to hear the shares.
And thank you, Barbara E. from New Jersey. Next up, we have Joan R. from Oregon, followed by Yvonne A. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning. This is Joan, and Joan R. from Oregon. And can you hear me, first of all?
I can, very clearly.
Thank you. Thank you, Mo. I've got so much out of the shares already so far. I'm just blessed to be here. I have actually just gone through this part of recovery again. It's been 46 years, and I too had a positive result from an archaeological dig, which happened because I think on this meeting I heard somebody say that they put in an innocent baby for instead of a sick person in the resentment prayer, and that. And I had been seeking. I was working the steps again, and I was able to go to page 525, I think it is, and write a prayer for God to hold this innocent baby, Joan, infant, started in the womb, and hold. And rock, and I go to my rocking chair, for the first time I'd leave the food for comfort, and I'd go to the rocking chair, and I'd let God rock infant Joan until I would believe that God really loves me, and that was what came out strongly on this fourth step, And I've had since then, it's been 2 weeks, a profound spiritual experience. I just can never be grateful enough to the God who is infinitely available to us with infinite love. So now I can, just put down the trying to fix, manage, control myself and everybody else, and being a crazy person. I thank Barbara so much. I think she should do stand-up comedy. I laughed so much at her sharing. So, and I am grateful I can laugh today and I can be here and to be grateful. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joan R. from Oregon. Up next, we have Yvonne A., followed by Suri C. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Mo and everybody. Thank you so much for the meeting this morning. I'm Yvonne A., recovered compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. And this paragraph is just such a beautiful summation of the first four steps. I had no idea. It was quite a shock to me, actually, to find out how blocked I had become from my higher power. When I started this program, I had been, I'd had lots of higher power exposure in my life. And so when I got here, I was barely able to say the word God. And I just thought, what has happened? And so that removing that block, started right back at step one. But the line that really stood out for me today was that, that being so, you've swallowed and digested big chunks of truth about yourself. And I'm 60 years old, and I was shocked, really, when I went through my first, step four. I knew that I had perfectionist tendencies. I knew that I, cared about what people thought about me. I knew I lived a life full of fear and anxiety, but I had no idea why. And step four was the beginning of that starting to be revealed to me. And as I went through that, I at first felt terrible. It's like, oh my gosh, here's this list of all these selfish behaviors. And oh my gosh, here's all the ones I do of those. And dishonesty. I would have said to you, I would have told you I was a very, very honest person, that was the one thing in my life I prided myself on. And the dishonesty, oh my gosh, that statement was one of the biggest dishonesties in my life. So, over the time, so I got over, you know, you get over that initial shock of realizing these things with the love of a sponsor. And I have a beautiful, wonderful sponsor who I adore. And, you know, she explained to me, you've made mistakes. You are not a mistake. And I keep remembering that line because now in God's eyes, I know I'm not a mistake. And yes, I'm never going to be perfect. I'm always going to have those things. It talks in the paragraph about our grosser handicaps. We have lots of handicaps, handicaps to fill up a lifetime, but we start by addressing the grosser handicaps. And so now that's what I do every day. When I ask for those big things to be removed from me, I ask for God to direct my thinking. I ask for God to direct my action and to be the person that He wants me to be. And I think that's all I'll say on that. Thank you, and I pass.
Hey, thank you, Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. Up next is Surrey C., followed by Darcy M. And after those two, I will be taking another lineup. Good morning, Surrey.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm sharing mostly from a place of, well, complete non-recovery. I am struggling and I am in the food and it is bad and it has gotten worse. I'm grateful for the fact that, you know, you don't have to be recovered to share on this line. Reading the last paragraph of how it works and I'm inspired to, even though I'm still in this non-recovered state and I've been here for way too long and it has gotten worse, I'm praying that I'm not the constitutionally incapable of being honest with myself, but rather the educational variety, because we read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And I know that I have such a compulsion with food that I can't do this myself. This line is, I'm clinging to it. I'll sometimes listen and I'll fall. I'm half conscious while I listen. Not that I've been in the food that hour, but I was the night before. But I listen to this and I gain such strength because I know that even in my fear of a step four, even in where I'm holding now, that I'm not alone in this. You know, some people say that what's the point of going to a meeting if you're still in the drink, but going to meetings is better than not going to the meetings. I'm not giving up. I'm praying out loud that God help for me remove whatever my self-will is blocking me off from Him. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Surrey C. And keep coming to our meetings. And next up is Darcy M., and after Darcy, I will take more names. Good morning, Darcy.
Good morning. This is Darcy M. from Nebraska. Originally, I was just going to listen today because I just felt like being isolated, I guess. But when you were saying you're going to read about the final chapter in this chapter, or final paragraph in this chapter, I thought I had to listen to it. And I'm glad I did because I realized I had to come out of my little isolation chamber today. And I also realized that I know that God had, or my higher power had been, or God, whatever, had increased my faith. Because He has removed a lot of self-will in me. And there's still a lot to go, which I have not done my fourth step yet. But I know there's a lot to go yet. But the fact that I'm staying with this sponsor I have is a really big decision for me. And I just want to say that right there would not have happened if I hadn't been in this program and let my higher power and God do go take over. So I am going to close with that, and I want to say thank you for having letting me share and having this meeting today. Thank you. Now, Pat.
And thank you, Darcy. Yeah, thank you, Darcy Ann. And I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 70, the bottom paragraph, the fourth.
Bottom paragraph, the fourth.
Oh, sorry. Hang on.
Sorry.
In this book, you read again and again, and it ends with, digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharings to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share?
Becky Tuttle.
Okay.
Washington.
Ela Nitt. Penny
All right, LC. So wait a minute. I think I got Ela. A Becky. Was there a Becky in there?
Nirvana A.
Okay, I got Nirvana.
Tom L.
Penny L.
Ela Nitt.
Who else? Penny LC.
Penny from South Africa.
Penny LC.
Ela Nitt from South Africa.
Yeah. Elon it. Okay.
Tom L.
Ann M.
Tom L. And there was an Ann.
Ann M.
Okay, let's stop there. I don't know how much time we have. Ann M. So I have Nirvana A, Penny L. C., Elon it from South Africa, Tom L., and Ann M. And if
Becky
you're not
T.
Nirvana, who was that?
Becky T.
Okay, I'll put you in there, Becky. I hope we get to you, okay?
That's all right.
Becky T. Okay, so if you're not Nirvana, please mute your phone, and we'll start with Nirvana A. Good morning, Nirvana.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you, everyone who makes these meetings possible every morning. I appreciate that. So when it's springtime, I do a spring cleaning of the house. I take out everything from the cupboards, and I just go through it, and I do that Marie Kondo method where it's like you hold something in your hand and you say, does it give me joy? If it gives you joy, you keep it. If it doesn't give you joy or it doesn't serve you anymore, you thank it and you donate it and you put it in a box to donate or you throw it out. So I like doing that. And then after I do that, I like to go to the fourth step, having done one, two, three. And then I look at my own character defects or my resentments or my anger and my fears. And then I learn that I'm hoarding a lot of stuff. And then that's when I have to see, does this character defect give me joy? Usually they don't. So I just thank it and I give it away. And sometimes they keep coming back. And then you just have to be aware and then you give it back again to God or you recycle it. So that's what I think the beauty of step four is. When you clean your house, it's also you're cleaning inside yourself. So you have more room and you feel lighter and better. And that's all I have to share. And thank you so much. I'm looking forward to the other shares. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Nirvana A. From California, Penny LC. You're up next, followed by Elon It. Good morning, Penny LC. Washington.
Good morning, Moen. Yes, I am. Yeah. Thank you for your service, Mo. This is Penny LC, Grateful Recovered Compulsive Overeater. And good morning to everyone on the line. In reflecting on this chapter, you know, looking back, we're introduced to step three. And, you know, the point is that I just need to be willing to grow along spiritual lines and allow myself that gift of surrender. And with that gift of surrender, then I am in a position to trust and rely that I can walk through my inventory, you know, with that idea that I'm not alone, that there is a power greater than myself to guide me, and that it's doable. And I have guidance, you know, my higher power puts in my path folks that can help me along the way. It's not something I have to do by myself. Sponsors have guided me each time I've done my inventories and been there to listen and hear my truth, or hear if I'm not speaking my truth, perhaps help me redirect it. But you know, knowing that I can't do this by myself or for myself, but with the grace of my higher power and the support of other fellows, it's doable. And I can't stress that enough, I just need to set aside that fear, that resistance to the process, and be open and just trust that it's going to be doable. And know that as that promise is there in this paragraph, that faith can do for me what I cannot do for myself. And then I have that hope, you know, that it's possible and that higher power will remove my blockages. And I just can and allow that process to unfold and know that just as each thing along my journey of recovery has been challenging, as soon as I trust that and walk through it, I am blessed by the outcome. And that's what I have to share. Thank you for letting me, and I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Penny LC from Washington. And next up, we have Elon It from South Africa. What's the first initial of your last name, Elon It?
Yes. Hi, this is Elon It. Recovering compulsive overeater from South Africa. And what I would like to focus on, so I'm working the steps again after a relapse. I have done a step 4, but what I found really relevant to me today is where it says, in this book you read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And that's where I am right now, because I don't have the spiritual awakening. And the only thing that keeps me coming back to meetings, to my abstinent plan, to my sponsor, to fellows, is the faith that somehow this is going to do for me what it's done for others. And, you know, it's I can feel it's a process of removal of all the toxic stuff that has arisen in me since I went into my relapse. Which is all, you know, a byproduct of my self-will. And what I keep remembering is that the best way to remove self-will is to pause and pray and then do it anyway. Today I found myself not wanting to go to meetings, not wanting to make outreach calls, and I've just done it anyway. And I've done it because of faith. And I'm realizing that, hello?
I'm here.
Hi.
I don't know.
I think that's actually all I want to share. So thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Elon, it's from South Africa. And next up, we have Tom L., followed by Ann M. Good morning, Tom. Press star 1, Tom.
It's having the mute-unmute thing going on. Anyway, good morning. I'm so glad to be here. Part of this group, the invisible group. It's not like Zoom. You can't see people, but you can hit star 0 and say, wow. That's a lot of people, and I'm here every day, most days. except Thursdays for whatever reason. So I am part of a group. I was most struck today by the share of the person who is here. Doesn't feel like she should be here because she's in relapse. Why would you go to a meeting if you're eating? When I'm eating, I cannot get to a meeting. I can't make myself come. I'm lost inside myself. When I'm eating, even if I'm in a meeting, which is why it's so painful, I am not part of the group. I'm isolated, and it's in my face, and I don't want to. So I want to be by myself so I can live in fantasy, and eat and be drunk. The fourth step, boy, it's taken a long time to get. I haven't yet hung on through the entire cycle with you guys, with us. I'm sober about 20 months now. It takes a lot longer than that to get through all 164 plus the doctor's opinion. And I was going, wow, I thought this would be over a lot sooner. It's a lot like my fourth step, which was a long, drawn out, this person, that person, oh my God, uncovering all these people that I was upset at. And of course, everybody at work, everybody at home, everybody in meetings, they're all on my fourth step. If I want to be thorough, I have to say, yes, they're all there. Why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself through this pain? So I don't have to be alone anymore. I can be part of you. I can be a we. Bill uses the term alcoholic torture. Yes, it is painful, humiliating, embarrassing to be an active compulsive overeater, you know, eating every day, 24-hour meals, everything like that. It's torture, and I have to go through it alone. Even if people are around me, I'm as I said, I'm. How do I not be alone? I have to take all this stuff out of my head that's whirling around my head like a bunch of flies, and I have to put them in the graveyard, and each one gets a tombstone. This resentment was born on this date, it did this, and then it died on this date. And then I can share that with someone else. We can walk through the cemetery of my resentments and my fears and my harms and say, look, here's this tombstone, here's that tombstone. And they say, and my sponsor said, oh, and look up, I have a tombstone very much like that. Isn't it wonderful that they're in the ground now? We don't have to worry about them. And we can be together, and we can help each other. Because we're heading towards step 12. I know it sounds slow, but we're heading towards step 12, where we're going to be spreading this message of being free, and so that we can be a unit, a unity, where I don't have to be alone and have to reach for my drug. So we finally made it through. Now we can get rid of it in step 5. Can't wait for that Monday. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tom. Tom L. from California. Ann M., followed by Becky T. Good morning, Ann M.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being there for me. And today, everybody on the meeting who shared, as well as newcomers and old-timers, we are all the same in this disease. I believe I am part of everyone. And in the former paragraph, what it reminded me of is that there, you know, this futility and the fatality and the destructiveness of my defects, I can understand now because I've gone through this personal inventory. And then the last paragraph where it talks about needing this, I think, for me, tolerance, patience, and goodwill towards everybody and towards myself and towards the program itself that has helped me so much. And I simply pass on wisdom that otherwise people in OA have shared. And about 8 years ago, someone shared, these are the big four here: resentment, fear, sex, and money. And we just covered that. And, you know, each one of those things for me can come up with every single relationship, with my relationship with self, significant others, and the God of my understanding. And I simply had a food problem, a weight problem, junk inside, and here's the answer to all of it, is this is how it works. This book has the answer. So I am so convinced that for me, this is the only path out of the misery of compulsive eating, compulsive thinking, and this most of it is need to control every little thing. So I thank everyone again, and I hope anyone who needs this and wants this program can work it through the big book. Appreciate it.
Thank you, A&M, and we have time for you. Becky T, up next. You'll be our last share.
Hi, this is Becky T from Idaho, and I have an interesting story, at least for me, on this particular subject. My sponsor worked me all the way through getting ready to start step four, and on the day that all the reading was done and it was time for me to begin the process of writing it, my son died that night. And it has been the most ridiculously wonderful journey because I wanted to bail and I didn't bail. And I could just hear inside me a gentle voice saying, if you can't do it in the trenches, how are you going to stay well? So I began the fourth step, and what I found was an absolute mess in there, an absolute mess, and yet clarity of the type that I hadn't seen before. I've been in recovery for a long, long time, and in OA recovery again now for about 3 years. And I was so bound by my behaviors, my beliefs, and the things that I was trying so hard to be so good by myself. And, you know, I now finally am getting to the place where it's coming out of my head into my heart. We hope that you are now convinced, that you're convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. I could never do it. I could not behave correctly. And then I walked like that little boy the big book talks about, whistling in the wind, severed from myself, ever from God, just trying to walk and do the next right thing. And man, I'm not done with step four, but I've loved these meetings so much. This journey is made more beautiful because these meetings have been here walking me through the step four. And it is about action. It is about who cares what I feel. Just do it, because God's the one that's setting me free, not me. That's all I got. Thank you very much. Oh, I forgot one thing, the most important thing that drove me to you this morning. On my knees this morning, I said the third step prayer as I do every day. And I heard this: relieve me of the bondage of myself, not take it away. It's a daily reprieve. It's a daily gift. It's the most beautiful, wonderful thing that comes from a connection with the higher power and the work. I just was so excited I had to tell somebody. We get relieved. It's ongoing. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Becky T. And thank you, everyone, for all your shares. And the last paragraph of this chapter, and Monday we'll be starting into action. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask, I think it's Jordan, yep, Jordan L., to read a vision for you. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.